The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.
And a very good Thursday afternoon to all you fine folks in Radio Land. Adam Lepp here on WWGH Radio, talking today's top and trendy technology topics, talking politics, talking the weather, talking interesting happenings in and around the Marion area, and anything else. That's how we roll here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Thank you very much for joining me on this somewhat wintry, chilly, and windy Thursday in mid-November. Goodness sakes, it seemed like summer was coming back yesterday, but sure enough, winter has reared its head once again. Enjoy a little bit of variety in my weather. Keeps things fun and, you know, kind of keeps me out of trouble. 14 minutes after the hour of 2 here at The Talking Place, where you can listen many different ways. Of course, the old-fashioned traditional way. That's my favorite way. In and around Marion County, Ohio. 107.1 megahertz frequency modulation, or 107.1 on your FM dial, to make it simple. If you have an Alexa or one of those Google Home type gadgetries, like I do here at my house anyway, you can just say, Alexa, listen to WWGH 107.1, and sure enough, my dulcet tones, or the dulcet tones of whoever is on at the time, will be infiltrating your domicile or office. Or just go right to our website at WWGH1071.com. Click on what I call the little triangle thingy to listen online. Many ways to enjoy the variety of programming and fun that we do here at this radio station. And not only that, if you're a Facebook friend of mine, you can watch me do a live video of the show. Sitting here in the official announcer's chair, wearing the headsets, in front of the microphone with the yellow foam cover thingy, on a Facebook video, under Adam Lepp in Ohio, or Adam the Computer Guy. That's also available for you during this program. So many different options that you can avail yourself to. We do take your telephone calls, and again, you can call to ask me a question about your technology. Maybe your smartphone is not very smart. Maybe you'd like to throw your Windows computer out the window. Maybe your printer hasn't printed anything since Richard Nixon was president. Maybe your server is only serving you headaches, etc. Maybe your Apple product is bad to the core. Put it that way. Any of those possibilities, or maybe you had a question about Windows 11 or the Android operating system, or maybe you had a hookup A to B, whatever your question might be, you can give me a ring here at 740-383-WWGH. And the good thing is that we won't require that you slide your credit card through your phone or send me a Cash App or Venmo or whatever method of payment you are used to. We actually give free support, at least during this program. How about that? And we have fun doing it. And any time that Adam provides assistance with a technological matter, Adam's delightfully sarcastic sense of humor comes at no additional cost. In fact, I've been known to charge people more if they prefer not to hear my sense of humor. That's kind of how I do things, because I feel that it's part of my thing. Or again, you can talk about politics, the dreaded masks, and vaccinations and restrictions. That's all fair game, whether or not you agree with me, and my opinion on that stuff is pretty well established. We can talk about the Braves winning the World Series. As of tomorrow, the Cleveland Indians will become the Cleveland Guardians. Ohio State football having a pretty good year, etc. Things going on here in Marion. The criminal charge is not going to be levied against former auditor Robert Landon. All that stuff, fair game. Pick a topic, or if you'd like to have a little bit of fun, what you can also do is play Stump the DJ, as you can see if you can ask me a question about music from between about 1973 and 1987. Maybe a instrument that a certain person plays, maybe a song, chart position, year, band, female or male performer, and see if I can answer your question. or maybe sing a few bars of a tune, or have me sing a few bars of a song of your choice. See if you can get me to not be able to answer that question. And if you can successfully stump the DJ, I can't promise I would have a prize for you, but you certainly would have my never-ending admiration, because it's rare that somebody can ask me a question from that period, again about 73 to 87, and find that I've not been able to provide the answer. I don't mind a tickling of a brain cell from time to time. As I say, brain cells, like any other part of the body, if you don't exercise them, they will lose effectiveness. And again, the phone number here is 740-383-9944. If you're watching my live video, just leave a comment or question, suggestion, complaint, or you can even send me a Facebook message. Many ways to communicate, and you know, in 2021, that's what's so excellent. You can pick the way that you want to communicate with a radio host or anyone else who might be of interest. If you ever miss a program on this radio station, it's okay. We won't spank you or send you to your room or write you a ticket or anything. You can go to our illustrious and famous website. And the good thing about our website is that I am the person who programs, maintains, and curates it. And the address of the website is wwgh1071.com. And you will see sections for the hundreds of programs that Scott Spears has done in the last few years. My programs, Glenn, Nate, Linda, and much more. Listen on demand, send a link to a friend, do what you feel is worthwhile and appropriate and fun. You could pretty much spend years listening to the programs that we have archived over the last 5 years here on this radio station, plus some older programs from Scott and others. Again, wwgh1071.com. That is the URL. Current day is the 18th of November. On Saturday, November 20th, that is the monthly date for the Mid-Ohio Food Bank giveaway. Takes place at the Richland Road Church of Christ, 535 Richland Road here in Marion. Serves up to 200 families, first come, first served, mix of meat, fresh produce, canned and boxed items, breads, and desserts. Sounds very tasty. In the Mid-Ohio Food Bank giveaway this Saturday, November 20th. For more information, the number is 740-389-1017. And last but not least, here at the radio station, we are a lot like Hillary and Melania. We're not as good looking as Melania, and we certainly don't have, that's a hard thing to say quickly, certainly don't have as much money as Melania does. In fact, we aren't even as tall as she is, but we do have a private email server, and unlike Hillary, we read every single message, nothing is deleted, and just like with the website, I am the curator and programmer of said technology. And you can email me at adam@wwgh1071.com. You can also email Scott at wwgh1071.com, or Sean at wwgh1071.com, or Terry at wwgh1071.com. We would love to hear from you. It is important that we communicate with valued listeners like yourself. I'd like to welcome CJ from Southeastern Ohio, a longtime friend of mine, who is watching my video here on this nice, chilly Thursday afternoon in the great Buckeye State of Ohio. Again, folks, if you'd like to call and discuss the issues of the day, questions, comments, complaints, etc., pick a topic. Again, can be politics, sports, the weather, and of course, technology. Your dulcet tones are welcome to share the airwaves with me, and the phone number is 740-383-9944. Of course, speaking of companies and people that have a lot of money. We wouldn't be speaking about myself, but we can turn our attention to Microsoft and Apple. As you may know, in recent years, they've kind of bounced back and forth in terms of which company is worth more. And they are both, of course, publicly traded. You can buy their shares on the stock market. Well, right before Halloween, on the 29th of October, Microsoft once again surpassed Apple to take the top spot as the most valuable publicly traded company in the world. At a conference that took place in October of this year, an overview of all things Microsoft was provided. Now, other companies, for example, Facebook, Microsoft is a bit different. Certainly, they've been around a bit longer, and they are a company providing a variety of software products that are well established. Just think of how long Windows has been around and how many years you've used Microsoft Word or Excel or Outlook. I know I have for 25, 30 years. I've already lost count. Anyway, Microsoft focuses on customers, not revenue, as its number one priority. Unlike Facebook, which certainly provides very virtual products, and they focus again more on the revenue, and they're again a much younger company. Now, it was not always that way, but excessive focus on revenue and profit is at the core of why other firms are not doing as well and facing regulatory backlash, while Microsoft continues to dominate. Now, it might seem strange to discuss diversity and inclusion, but we have found that firms that do not aggressively promote diversity and inclusion are underperforming their peers. Now, I fully agree. A company is only as strong as the people who work there, and having a variety of people from different backgrounds with differing opinions, that often makes a company work well. It keeps the wheel spinning and keeps the creative juices flowing. And that's very true in broadcasting. We have a diverse crew of radio people at this station. And that's one of many reasons why we rock. And anybody in broadcasting, I think, would agree with that assertion. And that is, I think, a lot of the reason why Microsoft has become so dominant. And even as much as Facebook is growing, explosive growth, explosive interest in what they provide, Microsoft and, of course, Apple remain dominant. Plus, they are certainly much more established companies. For most of Steve Ballmer's time as CEO of Microsoft, they were very focused on revenue and profit. Microsoft did well financially, but made several critical mistakes that highlighted a lack of focus on what was important. Microsoft has a rather extensive history. Of course, some of it is a bit controversial, and there are good things and bad things, like you would expect with any large company. Microsoft was damaged by poorly considered acquisitions and acquisition attempts, like trying to acquire Yahoo and trying to acquire Nokia. Was it really a good fit for Microsoft to take over a, at that time, leading cell phone company like Nokia? And is Microsoft maybe better as a competitor of sorts to Yahoo rather than the parent company of them? Anyway, in the last several years, Microsoft made a hard pivot toward strategically focusing on customer needs, satisfaction, and loyalty that improved its strategy in working with and selling products to customers. So what happens when a company stops focusing primarily on revenue and profit and shifts its focus to the people that buy and use the products? Well, that might result in consistent, substantial improvement in financial performance. Now, like any large company, like all of us, we can have good luck and bad luck. But in many cases, you're actually making your own luck by doing things that will point you in the positive direction. Microsoft is fortunate that the people who buy and use their products also tend to be smart consumers who want quality items that will grow with the times. The user and customer connection is in sharp contrast to what Facebook and Google do, where their revenue comes from advertisers. They don't sell products like Microsoft Office. They don't provide licenses for an operating system like, of course, Microsoft does, and also Apple. The people who use the platforms become the product, not the customers. Kind of an interesting thing as we compare these enormous companies with lots of profit and how they evolve with the times and what their marketing models are. Now, with Tim Cook as the CEO of Apple, they've become more like Microsoft when Steve Ballmer was the CEO, but not made quite as many mistakes, and that is understandable because they certainly witnessed some of the things that Microsoft did that may not have been their finest moments. Amazon really should be more than one company because Amazon Web Services and Amazon Shopping are so different that one top executive cannot have the breadth of skills needed to optimize both core businesses. And that's very true. I always kind of wondered how Amazon, which is an online shopping platform and a ginormous one at that, how they would also have these cloud, this tremendous cloud, Amazon Web Services, where files are being stored, how they would be in both of those businesses and still be the same company. It didn't really seem like a logical business model. Obviously, in the shopping realm, especially as we are in the beginning of the holiday season, Amazon has many competitors, companies that have been around longer, for example, Walmart. Drawing a parallel to the topic of diversity and inclusion, Microsoft's chief product officer, Panos Panay, spoke to how one of the key designers for Windows and the little laptop they offer, the Surface, is disabled and provides critical usability insights into product development, making Microsoft's products more inclusive. Now, Microsoft and Bill Gates, the guy that we kind of think of when we look at the infancy and founding of Microsoft, they're famous for their internet pivot and driving the .NET platform across the country, which drives a lot of the software that is in use. Most companies are siloed to a high degree, making standard components and frameworks impossible to implement across the business. Microsoft does not appear to suffer from that problem, and this was on display as they unveiled collaboration and communication products. Microsoft uses its products internally, so they benefit from consumers and employees when they develop something with a competitive advantage. When companies provide services, they often conflict with automation efforts that get blocked because they risk revenues. Microsoft's structure limits these conflicts substantially. Microsoft presented market-leading levels of automation working towards a time when a business manager, without any coding help from IT or any third party, could write code using natural language processing, known as NLP, and Microsoft's increasingly capable artificial intelligence. So we have these computers, these bots, doing the kind of things that a human brain might. Exciting and sometimes scary stuff, my friends. Microsoft appears better able and willing to integrate common frameworks and capabilities across its efforts and push for advancements customers want, even if those advancements reduce service revenue opportunities. Now, the history of the technology industry especially in the last 10 to 20 years. With the emergence of Facebook about 15 years ago, and as long as Microsoft and Apple have been around. Certainly, you could spend years and years studying this, and there certainly is much controversy. But as you know, that kind of adds to the fun. The technology industry, historically, has been defined by companies that focused excessively on profit and revenue, setting the tone for the technology sector. That resulted in a growing divide between what consumers want and what technology companies deliver. Microsoft has uniquely shifted focus to emphasize customer needs, even if that shift lessens service revenues. Ironically, this has resulted in stronger financial performance. Experts feel that we need Microsoft at the top, as an example, so more companies will transition from mining customers for money to finding new ways to solve customer problems, rather than locking customers into an ecosystem which equally locks new customers out, as Apple does. Microsoft creates interoperability and migration bridges, according to the experts, which allow customers to move about more easily and trusts that these customers will move toward a vendor that cares for them and away from vendors that do not. You certainly want to feel that the company you give your money to cares about you, cares about your computer, about your financial and emotional health, and that certainly makes plenty of sense to me. And you would think that as long as Microsoft has been around, all their ups and downs and changes at the top, that they would have figured out the best methodology. Now, the ability or desire to focus on what customers want over revenue, profit, and competitive responses has proven difficult for most companies. Now, the experts feel that Microsoft has demonstrated that this focus is not only possible, but has substantial financial benefits. So things looking pretty good for Microsoft, as they have recently surpassed Apple as the most valuable company that you can buy shares of stock in. Maybe that will change, as sometimes we feel that Apple and Microsoft are like Coke and Pepsi or like Ford and Chevrolet. But, you know, that just adds to the fun when you see these types of situations develop. Obviously, in our economic model of the United States and our society, that competitiveness fuels a lot of success, and sometimes it also fuels failure. Adam here on The Talking Place, talking today's top and trendy technology topics and anything else that might be of interest here at The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, 107.1 on your FM dial, and also you can listen through our website at WWGH1071.com. And last but not least, on your favorite smart device, Alexa, a Google smart home gadget, or what have you, download the TuneIn app, search for WWGH 107.1, and you will find that listening to the station is a very simple and fun thing to do. Adam Lepp here, keeping you company here on this mid-Thursday afternoon, November 18th, and it seems like we've gone back into winter after a bit of a preview of spring or maybe even summer yesterday. I certainly enjoy some variety in the weather, as that certainly makes things fun here in the great Buckeye State. We are taking your telephone calls, 740-383-WWGH. Those are the digits, and we can get you on the air right away. We take telephone calls on a variety of topics. Again, politics, sports, the weather, goings on here in Marion and the surrounding area, as well as, of course, technology. You're welcome to ask me the technology question of your choice. That's how we roll here at The Talking Place. The global pandemic and the need to comply with laws governing consumer data are fueling increases in privacy budgets. According to a report released earlier this month by an Association for Privacy Professionals and a multinational professional services firm. And that certainly would make sense as people are working at home and doing things remotely. If there's no privacy and data security, things could certainly get ugly and hairy very quickly. The Privacy Governance Report for 2021, provided by the International Association of Privacy Professionals, discovered through a survey of privacy professionals around the world that privacy spending has increased significantly over 2020, with the average privacy spend amounting to almost $1 million, $873,000, and the median budget of $330,000. That's the average amount spent, and that's quite a bit, but I certainly think it's important. It also noted that 60% of the privacy pros surveyed expect their budgets to increase in the year 2022, and almost none expect there to be budget cuts. As with many workers, since the COVID situation began, privacy pros are working from home in greater numbers. More than 8 in 10 privacy pros are working exclusively or mostly from home, according to the survey. That's expected to continue for the remainder of 2021, with 78% of the privacy pros expecting to remain remote or hybrid workers. There appears to be no change in sight. For next year, 82% of the privacy pros are still expecting to be working mostly remotely or in some form of hybrid arrangement, dividing their working hours between the home and the office. This report noted that compliance with the European General Data Protection Regulation, the GDPR, which we've talked about on this show a few times, the California Consumer Privacy Act, the California Privacy Rights Act, and other U.S. state privacy laws, as well as other global laws, has been a high priority for most privacy teams over the past year. The report revealed that 26% of the companies subject to the California Consumer Privacy Act, the CCPA, were in full compliance, and 41% were, quote, very compliant. The GDPR compliance was lower, with only 20% in full compliance and 43% considered to be very compliant. Rob Chavelle is from the Boston-based firm Abine, and they are the maker of Blur, which is a combination password manager, email masker, and ad tracker blocker. Anyway, he said, privacy laws have had a significant impact on how companies are approaching privacy, but it's been mainly internal to the company's operations. He said it's not something that consumers have felt much of a difference. It's a big change for companies because they have to hire a bunch of people and pay attention to where data is stored and who's it shared with, more so than they did before these laws were passed. Liz Miller is the VP with Constellation Research, and they're in Cupertino, California, the same place where Apple is headquartered. They're a technology research and advisory firm, and she explained that lots of organizations have fundamentally changed how they operate because of privacy laws. The challenge, she said, is that they have not redefined what privacy means to them. They are complying with the laws without asking, what does privacy mean to us, and how is it protecting our customers' data and privacy fundamental to the way we operate. So again, a lot of compliance, but not really asking why they're doing it. That reminds me a bit of the mask situation, doesn't it? Gets a little interesting, doesn't it, my friends? She said they are checking off the boxes, but the more interesting organizations are redefining what privacy means to them and making it something the customer is driving and not something to be exploited. She said they're asking their customers what they want from the company that has value to them. That's a residual benefit to consumers from this wave of regulation. More people are becoming aware that privacy is an opportunity to create a conversation about what everybody wants, a durable, lasting relationship with the consumer. Now, this report also noted that 45% of the privacy professionals revealed their organizations are planning to hire at least one or two new privacy professionals over the next 6 months. Those extra people will be needed when the California Privacy Rights Act, the CPRA, takes effect on New Year's Day. Timothy Tuohy is an attorney with the Greenberg Glusker law firm in LA. He said the CPRA is going to have a considerable effect on privacy. He said that that law will be giving consumers new rights, including the right to see information that a company has collected about them. Be kind of nice. You can actually find out what companies have been snooping, things about yourself that maybe you didn't even know about. He said that could be quite burdensome on companies, I would certainly say. In addition, the law imposes data and privacy requirements on vendors of companies. He said in the next year, there's going to be a lot of scrambling by companies putting new agreements into effect with their vendors. Some companies can have hundreds of vendors. An increasing number of privacy laws, both at the state level in the United States as well as the national level around the world, make privacy operations increasingly central to what an organization does. The proliferation of these laws, especially here in the United States, can also complicate the compliance task for companies. It's created a problem, according to Timothy Tuohy, the attorney in Los Angeles, who knows quite a bit about this. He said we have three states with comprehensive laws, California, Virginia, and Colorado. And a lot of states are considering adding laws like this, particularly in light of the pandemic and work-from-home situation because of the proliferation of information online. Whenever you have laws worded slightly differently, as well as all these laws are, he explained, it creates potential headaches for compliance. He said you have to reframe your agreements. You have to look at your privacy policies, and you have to comply with consumer requests from various jurisdictions, since there is no standard federal law, nor is there likely to be one in the immediate future. So when you have these privacy laws that are strict and differ quite a bit from state to state, that certainly complicates things more than a little bit. Now, businesses may be complaining too much about all these privacy laws in the United States, according to the experts. Companies say it's difficult to comply with the growing number of privacy laws, but some of the experts feel that that is hyperbole. That is exaggeration for the purpose of emphasis. Companies say it because they want to act like everything is hard, so they don't have to do it. In reality, these laws are very similar. Most of them are just subsets of one another. The CCPA, for example, is just a subset of the GDPR. The GDPR being the European law that is quite strict about privacy, which we've talked about on this show many times. While companies are beefing up their privacy teams, they're also beefing up their surveillance tools, largely due to the pandemic. Julian Sanchez, a senior fellow at the Cato Institute in Washington, D.C., said, "One pattern we see in the shift to remote work is that companies are hunting for ways to monitor output and productivity without a manager physically observing employees. For many, the answer is tools like InterGuard, ActiveTrack, Hubstaff, and TimeCamp. They are essentially spyware that can track what workers are doing on their computers in increasingly granular ways." The pandemic, he said, did not invent these tools, but plenty of businesses had them installed on in-office computers before COVID, but the shift to more remote work led to a significant spike in using them. Vaccine mandates can also pose a risk to privacy. Now here is where the politics, the medical community, and technology all are intermingling. And that is interesting fodder for talk shows and a lot of controversy. Vaccine mandates are creating all these little databases at places requiring proof of vaccination for service. There's no control over these databases. What we advocate is a low-tech approach. Check for a vaccine card, but don't create a database. There's no need to enter that information where hackers, scammers, or marketers can get it. And I agree. The whole idea of the vaccine database, the vaccine proof on your phone, that is a tremendous privacy violation at work. And I find the whole thing to be very frustrating, and not to mention illegal, and a violation of people's rights. And there are much better ways to go about it. And I can say I'm less than thrilled about it, as I know many people are. But again, it's good fodder for talk shows, and if you agree or disagree or want to discuss something else, that's fantastic. We are taking your telephone calls, 740-383-9944. Almost 10 minutes before the hour of 3 here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Adam the Computer Guy here. We get together every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 2:13 p.m. and 3 to talk today's top and trendy technology topics and take your telephone calls. Also, I am on the air Monday morning between about 10:13 a.m. and 11 with a show that we call Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Unless you've been living in a cave, you're aware that gas prices are going through the roof. They're in the low $3 range in Ohio. In many states, they're higher. And considering what they were just a couple years ago, I am certainly less than pleased, and I imagine you would agree with me. So many people are turning to an electric car. Electricity is a bit stable, and although it's certainly not at the price level it was a generation ago, in many cases an electric vehicle can save you money on fuel, and it's also a very green choice in some ways. Of course, there are issues with the manufacture and disposal of their batteries, as well as some recalls, some safety issues. But all in all, I do feel that there are some green advantages to having an electric vehicle, which we certainly should take into account when deciding what we choose to step behind the wheel of. Misconceptions and poor inventory are confusing potential buyers of electric vehicles, or known as EVs. Education and marketing are needed to repair these problems. Online car shopping marketplace Cars.com recently went virtual to help shoppers explore electric vehicle ownership. The website maintains that a charged collection of information on all things EV, that is electronic vehicles, to correct misinformation for the EV curious. As EVs have certainly become an item on the forefront of late, and with the current cost of gasoline, that interest continues to increase. In fact, I'm even looking at maybe my next car being electric, so I am certainly pondering the options and researching it from a practical and scientific standpoint. Anyway, in this virtual interface from Cars.com, experts shared information about electric vehicle ownership and answered live questions from consumers interested in electronic vehicles, or I guess electric vehicles. I guess it's electronic also, but technically EV is electric vehicle. The live presentations covered everything from charging setup and other considerations to thoughts on some of the more popular EVs. Cars.com brought its first plug-in a decade ago, a Nissan Leaf and Chevrolet Volt. Those are pretty established models. And they have since continued to evaluate many other electric models. Expanding beyond just how the cars drive, we live with EVs and test the range as well as the cost and setup associated with home charging. That comes from their executive editor and expert on electric vehicles, Joe Wiesenfelder. Over the last decade, electronic vehicle innovations have steadily tried to attract motorists and corporations to invest in the clean energy alternative to gasoline-powered vehicles. But higher prices and uncertainty over public recharging stations have hindered wider adoption. Where do you get the car charged? And if you're in a big city, that is going to be less of a problem than a rural area, as gas stations are pretty much everywhere. But when it comes to a charging station, that's a different matter. A new round of marketing and innovations is sparking interest in electronic vehicles. More than 100 new EV options are expected to enter the market between 2021 and 2025. Federal funding for electric vehicles and their infrastructure currently are topics for a heated debate. Consumers are taking notice, with 32%, about a third of car shoppers, actively looking to buy their first electric vehicle. On Cars.com, searches for electric vehicles have almost doubled since last year. But sales of electric vehicles are growing at a slower rate. There is no doubt that consumer interest in electric vehicles is growing, especially as more major automakers commit to the category and offer more SUV and pickup truck options for shoppers. But to the average person, there is still much uncertainty. For owners of electric vehicles, there are many benefits to ownership. Reduced fuel cost, environmental impact, and a reduction in maintenance costs can overcome rising gasoline prices and delivery shortages. Yeah, no oil changes, because there's no gasoline to circulate around an internal combustion engine. A lack of understanding and education about what electric car ownership is like is one of the big things holding people back. For hesitant car shoppers, the limited range, lack of charging locations, limited battery life, and varied charging times cause confusion and hesitation. That is where educational outreaching helps those interested in electric vehicle ownership better understand the pros and cons. Dispelling misinformation can help people make an informed decision on whether an EV or gas-powered vehicle is right for them. For the electric vehicle curious shopper looking to make the switch to electric, there's a lot at stake. I mean, I've been driving cars with gasoline engines for a long time, and driving even a hybrid car would be a new experience for me, let alone one that is exclusively battery operated. So not surprisingly, many electric vehicle shoppers remain unsure of which make and model to buy. One of the reasons we are having our event at Cars.com is that Cars.com thinks that consumers are concerned about some of the wrong things. The driving range is definitely an issue. Now, electric vehicles currently make up less than 5% of total searches on Cars.com. The share of searches for new electric vehicles rose in San Francisco, LA, Seattle, Sacramento, and Denver, an average of 4 percentage points compared with the same time last year. Local dealerships must also prepare to meet demand. Currently, only 37% of local dealerships are selling electric vehicles, and 63% are actively planning for electric vehicle sales, service, and training, according to a dealer survey from a couple months ago. On Cars.com, 41% of new car dealers listed inventory of electric vehicles. So certainly when you take a look about your next car, what you might want to purchase, do you want to go electric? Do you want to get a more fuel-efficient gasoline car, or maybe a hybrid, or maybe some other option? Certainly there are many points that are worth pondering. And with the current gasoline prices, it does not surprise me at all that a lot of people are searching for electric vehicles. And even I have done that, looking at options from different manufacturers, what vehicles are available at local dealerships, and what kind of maintenance issues have come up from other owners of these cars. And I think we're going to be seeing a lot more electric vehicle news and, of course, electric vehicle controversy over the next few months. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, closing out my Thursday afternoon radio extravaganza. I really appreciate your ears listening and brain cells absorbing the information that we have provided to you on this program. I shall return on Monday for a show that I call Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, which will take place between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11 on this and every Monday morning. Remember to listen to Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, starting at 8:13 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.